You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
This is Columbia Calling. I am Richard McCall here in Barichara, Colombia, reporting to you from the heart of colonial Santander. I have been guiding a group through Bogota via Leyva up here to Santander, Guane, Barichara, tomorrow Barranca Bermeja, Mompós, and then of course up to Cartagena before returning. Yes, it's a job that's taken me away from my family, but of course a job that is very good for Colombia, very good for me, and hopefully will bring us more tourists in the future. It is with great sadness that this episode 190, a milestone at Columbia Calling, will base itself on none other than the dreadful and deadly attack on the Centro Andino Center, the commercial center, the shopping mall in downtown Bogota, where three people tragically have lost their lives. So we're going to talk just a few minutes about this and clarify some things about what's going on. So let's start by saying our heart and our thoughts here at Columbia Calling go out to those people who lost their lives and the families of their loved ones in this unthinkable and tragic attack on an enjoyable place, a place where people go to be with one another, a place where people go to enjoy a coffee, a place where people go to the cinema. In fact, a good friend, Richard Emblin, the editor of the city paper Bogota, was actually in the cinema at that time and is suffering from a little bit of trauma after such an experience, knowing what has happened. So the bomb was detonated in the ladies' loo on the second floor of the Andino shopping center, with tragic consequences. So let me give you a bit of a background. For those of you who don't know what happened, a strong explosion rocked one of the busiest shopping centers in Bogota on Saturday, killing three people, including a 23-year-old French woman, and injuring nine. Witnesses told of being evacuated from movie theaters and stores after a blast in a second-floor bathroom. Ambulances and fire trucks, of course, rushed to the scene, and the injured were taken to hospital. Two of those died of their injuries there in hospital. The mayor, Enrique Peñalosa, he condemned this attack. He called it cowardly terrorist bombing at this upscale Andino shopping center. The victim, the French victim, 23-year-old, had been in Colombia for the past 6 months volunteering in a poor neighborhood and was preparing to return to France in coming days. She was with her mother, but her mother survived the attack. Immediately as this attack started to unfail and people started to ask questions, authorities' attention focused on the country's largest still active rebel group. That's not the FARC anymore, that's now the National Liberation Army, or the ELN, Ejército de Liberación Nacional. Set off a bomb near the bullring, the Santa Maria bullring in central Bogota in February, which killed one police officer and injured a further 20. Now, the government last year reached a peace deal with the FARC, of course, and this is much bigger than the ELN. The ELN have around 2,300 people. Perhaps the numbers are swelling up a little bit since the FARC is disarming. The ELN is also engaged in peace talks in Ecuador at the moment, but has so far refused for its fighters to lay down their weapons. They are campaigning, perhaps, for a ceasefire to speed up the situation. But they continue to bomb the oil pipeline and destroy infrastructure near to the border with Venezuela, in particular in Arauca. Some analysts attribute an uptick in violence in Colombian cities to the group's desire to wrest concessions from the government at the negotiating table. But, you know, take Bogota as a whole. The city has seen dramatic improvement in security over the past decade, and the conflict has started to wind down. But the capital remains vulnerable, as do all cities, remain vulnerable to attacks, as residents may have let down their guard. But this is out there to you out there. Do not let down your guard, but at the same time, do not let this damage your experience in Colombia. But as you think, we think of the Centro Andino, to which I travel a lot. And in fact, exactly a week ago, I was at the cinema with my family watching a movie there. It's a difficult target because there's screening on all the cars that enter the parking lot, the garage, and bomb-sniffing dogs and guards are present throughout the mall. So how did this happen? President Juan Manuel Santos has ordered the head of Colombia's police to lead the investigation and keep him regularly updated. But at the moment, there are no guilty parties identified. For starters, the ELN rejected this, saying that they would never do this. Those who are in the negotiations there in Ecuador. So I'm going to go over to our partners there at Columbia Reports. That's www.columbiareports.com. And they've got a very interesting article entitled "Just Some Likely Suspects for the Bogota Shopping Mall Bombing," and it's by the journalist Stephen Gill. And I just wanted to look at it. They said, well, the first one on the list is dissident members of the military, and they see motive, yes, opportunity, yes, means, yes. So this is quite an interesting, let's say, theory about this. An often omitted suspect would be a dissident element within the military. These dissident officials would have both the most compelling motive, the capacity, and the know-how, as well as the means to carry out a precision attack like Saturday's bombing. So, and they're drawing, of course, upon past facts. When on May 31st, 2002, a week before former President Álvaro Uribe took office, members of the Bogota-based 13th Brigade planted as many as 7 car bombs in an attempt to create panic. And the now jailed former army commander, Mario Montoya, was forced to admit in 2006 that he had known of this or helped set it up. One of the bombs exploded, killing one civilian and injuring other soldiers. So, maybe there's something in there. Now you're thinking about the AGC, or the Gaitanistas, the paramilitary groups, or the groups that have emerged from the paramilitary groups. Motive, yes. Opportunity, yes. And means, yes. Colombia's largest paramilitary group, the Gaitanista Self-Defense Forces of Colombia, has the motives, the capacity, and the intelligence to carry out terrorist attacks like that of Saturday. We would see, but the group has allegedly increased the assassination of police officers in a possible attempt to undermine state authority, but they've not once used explosives yet. So interesting. There's also the possibility, because of their long-time infiltration into state institutions and the recruitment of both former and active security officials, this group could potentially have obtained the technology and intelligence to carry out the attack. So move on to possibilities of dissident FARC guerrillas. Motive, yes. Opportunity, unclear. And means, yes. While the majority of the FARC troops accepted the peace deal with the government, dissident groups opposing the peace process have emerged and have already actively tried to frustrate the process, for example, by kidnapping a UN official in the south of the country. Now, I have my doubts about this. I have my doubts about dissident groups of the FARC. I think they're probably too isolated and too involved in the cocaine transshipment business down there towards Brazil. So I think perhaps they don't have the possibility for this. They would need the support of the Central FARC, and I don't think the Central FARC would be doing this. The ELN, so that's what the government has been pushing, the National Liberation Army. Motive, no. Opportunity, unclear. And means, yes. Colombia's last standing Marxist-inspired rebel group, the ELN, are another possible suspect. According to some media, they're even the prime suspect because of earlier bomb attacks in the capital. They generally take responsibility for their attacks. And they make it sure, and they try and clear the Colombians about out of these areas. And they want people to know about their military prowess. They do tend to avoid targeting crowded areas, and they do admit to their actions quite soon afterwards. So we have to think about that a little bit. I don't know. I mean, and if they had done this, this would have meant that the peace talks would have been cancelled straight away. But anyway, so Águilas Negras, number four, motive yes, opportunity unclear, means unclear. The Águilas Negras are Colombia's most extreme right-wing armed group, or a collection of groups with every motive to prevent the political inclusion of the FARC. However, there are doubts whether the group is a national organization or just a dispersed collection of extremist supporters of hard-right former President Álvaro Uribe. I wonder if they would have anything to do with this. Number five, and interesting one, it's a new group that has set up some petardos or bombs in Bogota in recent years, and in fact in Café Salud and Porvenir Insurance. It's number five, the Movimiento Revolucionario Popular, that's the People's Revolutionary Movement. Motive unclear, opportunity unclear, means unclear. Authorities were quick to leak the possible implication of an alleged extreme leftist group called the People's Revolutionary Movement. While its existence has yet to be confirmed, the group in January was accused of setting off a pamphlet bomb. It's not really a bomb, but an explosive device that ejects political pamphlets, propaganda. The group has also been accused of bombing healthcare offices, again leaving pamphlets denouncing Colombia's substandard healthcare system. Hypothetically, the group could have made an alliance with FARC dissidents and obtained the bomb-making expertise necessary for an attack like past Saturdays. I don't know, though. I mean, I get the feeling that the MRP is something made up, but that people seem to point to the National University as being the seat of these people. But at the same time, three people have lost their lives, and many others are injured. I don't know if we should be, I mean, there's so many, the conspiracy theorists are going mad about this at the moment. So it's just an incredibly sad and incredibly unnecessary loss of life. Three young women have lost their lives. Who puts a bomb in a women's loo, in a women's bathroom? So very odd, very odd. But anyway, my heart goes out to them, and for that reason, for this week, episode 190, we're just reflecting on the sadness of this situation, the unnecessary deaths which took place, and the unfortunate situation in which the families find themselves in, and we mourn and lament the loss of life, an unnecessary loss of life, any loss of life, in anywhere, but also here in Bogota, Colombia, where everything is getting better. So this is me, Richard McCall, in Barichara, Santander, signing off this episode 190 and lamenting the loss of life in Bogota by some cruel and thoughtless activity, destroying our very fabric of society. Thank you for listening. Feel free to get in touch. Goodbye for now. I'll be back next week.
Subiendo la corriente, cochinchorro y atarraya.